this show, true friend of mine, coaches at Fullerton, ninth year. Can I believe it's in this ninth year at Fullerton? My man, Deidre Taylor here with me. Deidre, what is up, my brother, man?
Not much. Excited to be back on the show and catch up with you. But obviously, you know what time it is. It's time to go. It is the start of basketball season. So excited to be here and excited for this time of year, quite frankly.
Deidre, we've been doing this 5 years, bro.
Yeah, it's been a while.
This 5 years of doing this, the show, man. Tell me this. When you got the request from me the first time, what do you think? Who this joker from Atlanta want to talk to me? What's your thoughts?
You know what, man? Like, I have a different outlook and a different relationship on with the media. Like, I was more trying to figure out, like, why would they want to talk to me? Like, who am I? I'm nobody. And then the fact that you did, I was like, yeah, I'll do it. Heck yeah, I'll do it. I'll get on and I'll get on every time, you know, just simply because we need that exposure, especially on the West Coast from a guy from Atlanta. We need that down south exposure.
No doubt, because yeah, I was like, who is random dude JR from Atlanta? Who wants to talk to me for? Like, it's for a reason. I wanted to talk to you for real. It wasn't because it wasn't on some trap stuff. I was really wanting to, you know, a brother coaching a program out west, played at UC Davis, then coached at Fullerton. Yeah, I want to talk to his brother. Coach Arizona. Out. So yeah, it was all like, I had a vision for the show when I was, it turned out really good.
No doubt. And it has blossomed into a heck of a relationship and one, quite frankly, that I depend on. And you know, you don't run against genuine people, run into genuine people across the country, people that you can trust and people that you build a bond with. And I can truly say that about you and what you do and how you do it. It started off as obviously a business deal, but now it's, to me, it's a lot more of a relationship that stems from a personal deal.
No doubt. And bro, let me ask you this, man. You've been there 9 years going on. Tell me, how's it changed for you since you got there day one to now? Like, as you built this thing over these past 9 years, man?
Yeah, it's changed quite a bit. And I would say probably because of when I first got the job, everything had to happen yesterday. You know, it didn't happen. It didn't need to happen today. It had to happen already. And so now it's more of a, I wouldn't say it's a maturity thing, but it's just more of a patience thing. It's just more of a, hey, we're going to get there, but we got to continue to tread water, or we got to continue to build it. And then the payoff will eventually show itself up. And, you know, one fascinating thing for me in terms of, like, when you hear Kobe Bryant, hear some greats of sports, you know, you very rarely hear them talk about being the best. Particularly Kobe, you hear him talk about getting better day by day. Can I get better today? And quite frankly, that's something that has really struck me and really, really curtailed a lot of my impatience. You know, hey, just find a way to get better. Let's just get better. And if we're better today than we were yesterday, then we'll be better tomorrow. You know, and that's just kind of how things have changed, you know, and that's across the board. You know, in my coaching style, recruiting style, academics, you know, it shows its head in all facets of our program. And I think, you know, in short order, we've been able to survive. You know, 9 years is a long time, but it's a heck of a feat to accomplish, in my opinion, to be in charge of a program for 9 years.
And Deidre, for me, I got out of playing sports in 08 was my last game. And that's 2021. Yeah. How has the guys changed even from when I played from 05 to 08 to now from 13 now to 21? How have the guys, in your opinion, the young men have changed over your time being there over these 9 years?
You know, it's funny, man. This is a cell phone, right? And that, quite frankly, has changed. You know, the information, the access to information. You know, I heard a guy say it this way. You know, when you were playing and maybe towards the end of when you were playing and definitely when I was playing, you know, we had to take the coach's word for it, no matter what, whether it was real life stuff, news, strategy, it didn't matter. We had to take his word for it and boom, it was over. Whereas now you can say something and before you finish the sentence, before you put a period at the end of the sentence, guys can look it up and see whether or not it's accurate or whether or not they can trust the information. And so now as a coach and as a mentor and as a leader, you have to realize that, you know, you can't just say things off the cuff because no longer do guys believe in that. And I think that's what has changed over the course of time, the players themselves, the access to information. And then the other thing would be, you know, that information drives them a lot of the time. I said this to our ball club when we first got together, you know, the coaching staff has to be the loudest voice that you hear over the course of the next 6 to 7 months. You cannot, in my opinion, you can't let the outside world and the outside influences or people you want to hear tell you what you want to hear. Those voices are the loudest voices, and then you expect to achieve the same thing. It just doesn't add up that way. And so I think players nowadays are governed a lot differently than maybe you were, and definitely my old ass.
Yeah, because I had a T-Mobile sidekick in 08. I had a sidekick, man. Yeah. I was at Tennessee State on Saturday at the football game, and they could not believe I had been gone 13 years. I was like, I've been in your shoes here at Tennessee State. I know what this is all about.
No doubt.
How it's changed from when I was there is a lot, you know. I never thought I'd have my cell phone on sideline before in my life. So I saw it Saturday at the game. If you ain't playing, you got your phone, you got chains, earrings on you at Tennessee State, bro, in the FCS. You ain't at Alabama, bro. My man had on chains himself. Yeah, bro, I got 3 cell phones. Yeah, you a college kid with 3 cell phones.
Yeah, yeah. not only do they have them, but, you know, it provides a different level of access, but also, you know, they use them. They are governed by the information that is on that phone. They are texting in the middle of the game. Look at me. I'm down here on the sideline as opposed to being 100% committed or invested, you know, in your role with your ball club, trying to figure out how can we win? How can we get better to provide ourselves with a win? You know, it's interesting to say the least. And I'm going to stop talking.
I was laughing, DJ, because pregame warm ups, bro. We got guys taking selfies for pregame.
Yeah, yeah. And that's real.
I will admit during the Atlanta Classic, that was me. Atlanta Classic, that's home for me, though.
You're right.
Against family. Yeah. That was the only game of the year I acted like I was those guys, okay? Because that's home.
Sure.
We are playing Tennessee Tech, and you just out here like TikToking and selfie.
Yeah. That's all. And again, you got to think about this too, though. That's all they know. They don't know what life was like outside of the phones. Funny story really quick is we had a recruit on campus, him and his family, and we were having dinner. And so the conversation, we were talking with his parents, and that same thing that you just brought up, the sidekick, like literally the sidekick, the young man, he didn't know. And we had a player who was at dinner with us, had no idea what that meant. Like a sidekick. Who is that, your friend? We were like, nah, trying to explain to him, you know, what that was and the status it represented and the use of AIM, you know, and all of those things. And we had to get off of the conversation because it didn't include the player. It didn't include the young man. It didn't even include our kid that was on our team. Like, they were looking at us like, what are you guys talking about?
The dial-up, America Online, the Lycos.com, Netscape. See, being born in 87, I kind of got a little bit of best of both worlds. I saw the older way, and I grew into the new age way as well.
Sure.
But it's funny. You get somebody that's like 80 or older from 77, 79, they might not know. A laptop.
Yeah, it's funny how technology governs and rules a lot of what it is that we do. You know, I mean, even taking, you know, your day job in terms of working for the Atlanta Hawks, you know, a lot of the NBA teams and franchises are governed by analytics now. You know, they rely on, well, he can't, this player's not necessarily analytically explosive, so we're not going to draft him or we're not going to sign him, as opposed to a guy who does, you know, analytically he shows and he's off the chart, but you know, the purist in us, the basketball people, know that dude can't play. This dude is a guy you want, but that's just the way that our world is now.
Exactly. And for you, man, how was it, man, having guys on campus this summer? Last year you couldn't do nothing, nobody. Because California's rules. How was it having guys who he returned to the roster be on camp? Seven new guys that you got to come to you guys to say, hey, let's get his weight room together, build our camaraderie early so we can be good come November 9th when we tip off for real.
Yeah, no, it was very, very good. You know, for a lot of our freshmen, we had our academics coach. She came up to practice. She watched the guys practice. This was last Saturday. She just came up just to drop off some grade check information. And literally like half of our team, not the new guys, but the old guys. So the guys that were freshmen 2 years ago, they had never met her in person. They had only Zoomed with her. And so for me, I was like, wow, whoa. Like it made me take a step back, and you take these things for granted and these opportunities for granted. But a lot of these instances that we're experiencing, they're first for our young man. You know, we scrimmaged another team this past Saturday, and for a lot of our guys in our, they had never traveled like that before, like never gotten on a plane. Everything was on the bus, and so it was very surreal from that standpoint. But in this, on the flip side, it's been really good. You know, I think we've been able to take advantage of being in the weight room with each other and pushing and driving each other and trying to create and develop our culture on the floor, trying to develop a chemistry that is rooted in working, that is rooted in trying to make the best play for our team to have success. And so being able to do that and then do it consistently, like not having to worry showing up one day you practice and then the next day they say, hey, you can't practice because so-and-so. You know, now it's just, hey, you just show up. And fortunately for us, everyone on our team, everyone on our staff is vaccinated. And so that puts us also on campus in a different eyesight. You know, the campus looks at us different. So it's very unique. It's very surreal, but it's also, you know, much appreciated.
No doubt. And how is your young men's mental framework has improved since they can kind of move around more freely now? Because last year they was restricted because of the rules in California. You can't do much you want to because of the restrictions. How has it been for your young men's mental mindset being around people again, able to kind of do a little bit more, not just be stuck to the court and the apartment?
Yeah. No, I think for a fraction of our group, you know, there are a lot of guys that are social, there are a lot of guys that were looking forward to getting to campus and interacting with other people. You know, we don't have as big of a problem as we normally would have getting these guys to go to class, you know, and it's a benefit for us because they do want to get out of their apartment because there are, you know, 40 some thousand students on campus. And so these guys, they're, like you said, they're not used to that. They had to go to their apartment in the gym and that was it. Well, now there's activity around. And so they can be a lot more social, you know, under the guidelines and other regulations. We're not free and clear of COVID restrictions, but it's completely different. And these guys, I think I am at least seeing their personalities blossom. They need that. They need the social interaction. And I think that's something that these young kids, they need. They have to be social, even though they might be sitting across from their best friend and they could be talking to each other via text. They need the physical presence with each other. You know, it's weird that way, but it's been refreshing for the experience for those guys.
I can say, Diedrich, going to Miami and going to Memphis the past couple of weeks, seeing people I saw at the arena who know me, giving me hugs. Now, I'm not a hugging type of dude. I'm more of like, don't get knocked out kind of a dude.
Yep. Yeah,
but folks give me hugs and good to see me, and I'm like, yeah. I'm masked up, of course. I'm fully vaxxed. I got a booster shot. I had to get a booster shot, so I'm boosted up. I got the boost. I'm super powerful. I got a booster now. So So I'm boosted up. So I'm like, good to see you. All these people who I said, I don't think they knew who I was, but they see me. But hey, good to see you, boss man. Blah blah blah. Love your show. Miss seeing you. Love seeing joking with you. Cause I'm gonna joke with you. I'm gonna make you laugh. Sure. I'm gonna say so I can't say on this radio show to people probably, as you know.
Yep, that's what makes you. And that's what they miss. That's what they miss.
You know, because I ain't gonna lie to you about what's going on here. I'm gonna tell you, yeah, this is what's going on.
No doubt, no doubt. And
I ain't the one that told you, but this is what's going on. You know,
no doubt.
it's tell you in my own way I can tell you. But
Yeah.
you know, in Memphis, the security people all gave me hugs, man, and like good to see you. Like, I'm like, wow, y'all miss me that much. And the fans booing me, telling me we hate your show, you this and you that.
Sure.
You know, I'm like, it felt good though.
And again, I think, you have to go back and realize what we went through. The country, the world, quite frankly, the world was shut down. Nobody could move. And now all of a sudden we're slowly but surely being able to get back to that. And so people that didn't used to recognize you or hug you or do certain things, now they can, and they took it for granted. So now they're taking advantage of it. And I think we're starting to see a reemergence of that. I'm like you, the physical touch thing, man. Like, you sure? Like, I want to keep everybody at an arm's distance. But it's awesome for people that need that social interaction. It's awesome for people that need that interaction, and that experience. It's just a part of who they are and what they are, and it makes them better. And so I think in a lot of ways, it's making us all better, being able to get back to what we used to.
And did you have a veteran roster, brother? I mean, you kind of got a little old age on your roster now. How's it make you feel having a little age on you now? So hopefully your guys can know the schemes better, know what you call certain thing, whether it be a dig or a trap or some or a stunt. They know what it is now. They're like,
No
what's
doubt.
that?
No doubt. No doubt. I think, for us, for our roster, we didn't bring in a high school kid this year. We have all graduate transfers or one transfer and then a junior college transfer. So there's five guys, new guys on our team, but none of them are high school. And so, like you said, the terminology might be different, but the action, the concept behind the action is the same. And so it's important for us to just get on the same page in terms of terminology. And once we understood that or established that, it was a lot easier in terms of, not having to explain things, or you could be a little more efficient versus a freshman. They don't know anything. They're trying to figure things out. They don't know, literally, they don't know where the cafeteria is, where the training room is. They don't know nothing. Whereas older guys, they're used to it. They've been there. They've done that. They understand, hey, this is that. This is, oh, okay. They know everything. And then they just move at a greater pace, again, which is different than most high school students. The pace that guys operate and work is completely different on this ball club. So hopefully we can take advantage of that. And that's one thing that we set out and our staff set out to do, was try to get more mature, try to get a greater deal of experience under our belt. And now all of a sudden, take advantage of that.
And you got some new coaches on your staff as well. Tell us about the guys you hired. I know you said had some changes on your staff. Tell me about those guys and what they'll mean to your staff going forward, man.
Yeah, I think fortunately we had to hire new guys, just simply because the other guys moved on to bigger and I wouldn't say bigger, but more unique situations for them that were important to them and their family. So kudos to them, and really excited for them and wish them well. There were some things that were really, really important to us moving forward. We ended up having to hire two new full-time coaches and then an ops guy. And honestly, I couldn't be more proud of who we ended up getting. It was a long, tedious process, and it was a little bit of everything involved in the process. But we got two former players, a young man by the name of Chris Walker, who played at the University of Oklahoma. He's been at Sac State. He played junior college basketball, and so his experience, it just speaks for itself, and it allows him to be able to relate to our young man in a different capacity, and I think a much needed capacity because of his experience. Joey Brooks, who's from Nicholls State, he played at Notre Dame, went to straight Jesuit high school in Houston, so he comes from a lot of tradition, a lot of pageantry. He was an assistant, graduate assistant at Purdue. In fact, when we played Purdue a couple of years ago, he was on that staff as a graduate assistant when we played Purdue in the tournament. So we were able to reconnect then. And so, the relationship really, really drove hiring those guys to be what they are. I think relationship guys, the players really respect them. They really take to them. They all have a very big voice, on the floor, particularly with each of our players privately as well. You know, our guys, they're always constantly up and down the hallway. And the thing I like about it is that they're not necessarily looking for one person in particular. They're looking for somebody on our staff, you know, and they can go to anybody and feel comfortable to have a conversation with those guys. And so that's been really, really impressive. And then we hired a guy by the name of Ryan Ham, who comes from St. Leo, a Division II, a very successful Division II school in near the Orlando area. And so he rounded out our staff, and finally, you know, through probably one of the craziest summers that we've been around, myself and Coach Anthony Santos kind of had to hold it down since the spring recruiting, summer recruiting in a lot of ways. So we were able to get that accomplished. But our staff is very new. But I think again, it's incumbent upon us to make sure we're on the same page and get organized, and then try to do things the right way. And the right way is the Titan way for us. You know, it's doing things a certain type of way and making sure that we're all on the same page, and then, you know, letting them go out and do it on their own. Like Chris and Joey, they have two different personalities. Joey is more loud and rambunctious, and where Chris is much more reserved, and it's almost like E.F. Hutton. You know, when he speaks, everybody listens. You know, and so they're completely different, but they're the same. You know, they're there for a certain reason. That's to make sure our guys continue to grow, continue to develop, continue to get better, because that's the way we lead. We think it leads to winning. And so those guys are bought in at a different level, and they've done an unbelievable job of getting on the same, trying to get on the same page. And Coach Santos has done a hell of a job, you know, leading those guys, showing them how we do things, and it's been great. I would imagine there'll be some adversity coming up here pretty soon, but for the most part, we're really, really excited about those guys.
And you got a non-conference schedule, bro. It's kind of regional, which is good. Saving money on travel expenses. I like that.
No
Saving the
doubt.
money on travel.
Yeah.
Cause I know the money ain't what it used to be for them guarantee games. I've seen the contracts. I know what they
Yeah,
are.
the
I know what they're
money.
about.
Yeah, the money is definitely taking a COVID hit. But you know, the money and staying regionally is important, but more important is the weather. I want to stay closer on the west because I know what's going to happen. It might rain hard, it might even blow hard, but for the most part, it ain't. We're still going to be able to make our flights, whereas opposed to going to a place like you know, in the Midwest, they might cancel your flight because of snow, or coming even down this way, the weather is crazy. So staying out west and staying regional is obviously money related, but it's also weather related, is for me personally as well.
Bro, like I saw in Cali, when the Raiders played the Chargers, they had a big old storm, and so I thought SoFi was in closed stadium. I
No,
was
it is over the top, right? So over the
okay.
top, but on the outside there, it's open.
Okay.
And so let's just call a spade here a spade. It wasn't a big storm. It was a little bit of rain, and it was blowing, the wind was blowing a little hard, and us California people, we didn't know how to act, didn't know how to respond. We shut everything down, and like, hey, we're experiencing, it wasn't that crazy. But
It's kind of like how we do with snow down here.
nobody knows how to act, and the roads are you know, shut down, or the 75 wrecks, you know, it's crazy. But you know, being out west has its challenges, but for the most part, you know, we can manage and manage everything.
And how was it being in SoFi to see your team beat the Chargers? I know you had to enjoy that.
I was really excited. You know, I snuck in there and I didn't take anybody, didn't go with anybody. I even refused to accept, like, there was a couple of invitations for suites and all this stuff. Nope, I don't want none of that. I literally went by myself and I sat next to, I don't even know who I sat next to, just so I could enjoy, you know, my team. And it helped a tremendous amount, that we did win the game. I got to the game a little bit late, and so I was walking in the stadium to my seat during the first drive, and it was so loud, and people were cheering. I thought maybe the Cowboys, or excuse me, the Chargers. I thought the Chargers had scored. Well, by the time I got to my seat, the Cowboys were up 7-0, and that's how many Cowboy fans were in SoFi Stadium. So it was electric, to say the least. And SoFi Stadium, I mean, it's I can't even describe in words how nice of a stadium it was. And the experience, the food was really, really good. But it's always good to win, and it's always good to see your team win.
Well, I think you have another victory on November against the Atlanta Falcons. I'll leave it at that.
I appreciate that. I'll take it. I'll take it.
I don't see the Falcons doing very well in Dallas because now I will say you do have Dan Quinn as the coordinator.
Yeah.
And you know, Dan Quinn was part of that stench that caused the Super Bowl to go 23. So I just will warn you, his defense can get stale.
Yeah. Yeah. I tell you, schematically, it does. I was watching some talking heads this morning, and they were questioning some of the calls and some of the schematic things that the Cowboys were doing on defense and offense yesterday, as a matter of fact. But you know what? We'll take it and we'll run with it and make the best of it. But quite frankly, I mean, shucks, if you look at the Dallas Cowboys, especially defense, there's a couple guys on that defense that make everything go. And they showed their behind yesterday.
That Diggs dude is cold.
Yeah. And yeah. He
was Randy Gregory's not getting high anymore.
No. Thankfully. Thankfully.
And that Parsons boy, he can be a linebacker or rush in. I mean, having Tank Lawrence be out and Gregory kind of unlocks some with that brother.
Yeah, I think it's also even allowed the Cowboys to make some moves in terms of roster. Like I saw, they cut a veteran linebacker because of Parsons, because his his versatility. I think that linebacker ended up signing with Green Bay.
Smith, he's a Green Bay now.
He's a really good player. But because Parsons and his ability to put his hand in the ground, or he can stand straight up and do what he does in terms of causing some havoc for the other team's offense, I mean, shucks, dude's really good.
Now, let me ask you, as being a Cowboy fan, do you prefer the blue uniforms or the white ones? Which ones do you prefer?
I actually prefer either one. What I am attracted to, as often as I've tried to get away from it, because the Cowboys haven't always been 5-1. It's the star for me. It just something about that star, man. It's like when I see it, I lose my mind. I often find myself at times on Sundays being disappointed when they lose, even more so when my team loses. Like my personal at Cal State Fullerton, we lose. When the Cowboys lose, it's just like a different set of emotion. Like my mom knows if the Cowboys is on, don't call it. Don't bother. And like it's pretty serious.
Yeah, I will say that I prefer the old school Falcon uniforms before they went to the Mike Vick look.
Sure.
The old school look when Deion was here.
Yeah. Yeah,
the all black. I love those uniforms the best, and the old Falcon elf. I love that elf.
No doubt.
That's my Falcons set. I like the best. Yeah. Now, for certain reasons, I don't wear that gear anymore. But I'll get it on.
we'll leave that for another time in another conversation.
For I'll just wear Atlanta Hawk gear and like it.
There you go. There you go.
I said, I remember those sets, man, but now I'm glad they look better now with the ATL set. So I never was a fan of that the old one. I just wasn't a fan of it. I never grew on me.
Yeah.
The old school, this one kind of has.
Yeah. It's funny that you say that, the old school people, so to speak. And I say that in quotes, the old school people, they like what they like, the Rams kind of did the same thing, where they changed their logo, and Eric Dickerson he went off. He was locally, he told them they were, that didn't look good and so on and so forth. And it's grown and it's grown and it's grown on people. And I think the people have learned to accept it. But if you go to one of their games, you will see a lot of the old school Rams paraphernalia that people are rocking and people are supporting. So it's different.
I feel like the Chargers are just out of place. They're never going to be LA's team because LA has the Cowboys, the Raiders, and the Rams, and you are the fourth leg at best.
If that at best,
San Francisco could be fourth and you're still fifth.
Yeah, if you want my personal opinion, I think the Chargers and the Clippers, they're the JV team. They're sharing buildings with LA's real teams, the Rams, and sharing the Staples Center with the Lakers. I mean, come on, you can't. You got to get your own. You can't do that.
And I wonder what will happen with the Clippers building that new one, Intuit Dome. Will we stay alive, or we'll stay, or we'll move up the road. I wonder what's gonna happen, because it's so convenient now, because you play them, same hotel, LA Live, play them, and are we gonna stay there and then move up the road, or stay just, I don't, it's a thought I had in my mind, because I'm thinking business to it, Dome, right there by SoFi.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I would imagine, and this is just me guessing, that you'll have to go from downtown LA to maybe Manhattan Beach or somewhere out closer to the airport, you know, in terms of the hotels, and then that's just a straight shot to the new Dome where the Clippers will be playing. So I don't know though. It'll be interesting. You know, the NBA and the NFL, they also can do what they want to do.
Exactly. And NBA, can we get a separate LA trip again, please? Sounds like back-to-back Clipper Lakers trip.
No,
can we split that up, please? That, like Golden State and the Lakers one trip, Sacramento and the Kings, Sacramento and the Clippers other trip or something. But nah, it's always play at Golden State, Clippers, Lakers back-to-back, play the Cali teams and go back out.
I think they call it the West Coast swing. You know, they bring you guys out and they showcase you in all four different cities, and then they send you on your way. So that'll be interesting to see what they do with that.
I would split it up. I could go Sacramento, Golden State on one trip, Clippers, true, Lakers, Phoenix, Utah, Denver, Portland. It's a way to do it and do it right. Okay. If you split it that way, I didn't say to do it, but nah, it's always California teams at one time. Phoenix, then go back out.
Yep, it's always, you know, it's money. In my opinion, it's money generated, and whose pocket the money goes into is always a question and determining factor in regards to who and when they come out.
With the Hawks being better now, it's more games on Thursday, TNT, and more games on Friday night. So I could guarantee y'all I'm going to be off either Thursday for sure, maybe a Friday, and have a Saturday game. But now that's more Friday, Sunday to be on ABC. And ESPN, having to change my lifestyle. I always knew that I would have Thursdays off for sure. Yeah. But they wouldn't be on TNT ever.
Yeah. Well, that's what success does. When you experience a little bit of success, you know, everybody wants a piece of that, and they want to showcase, you know, what success looks like. And so Atlanta and Coach McMillan have done a great job in terms of finishing the way they finished last year. And so everybody wants to see if they can maintain a level of success moving forward. So don't have any plans for the weekend. You guys are going to be on TV.
I have learned that oh so fast, my friend. I can't do what I used to do on the weekends.
No doubt.
Man, thank you for your time, brother, as always. Because this is not this is a conversation that we have. We talk about books and basketball life. It's a fun chat. It's not all about the same old minutia other guys to talk with you guys probably. The boy you're dealt. So I try to make sure it's fun and engaging and fun. We talk about something that's non-basketball for a chance. See who you really are as a person. You know what I'm saying? So it's always fun, brother.
Yes, sir. I appreciate, man. It's been a long time that we've been doing this, and every chance we get to do it, I jump at the opportunity, and I think it's getting more conversational every time we do it. So call me up anytime. I enjoy it.
No doubt, folks. That's my man, Fulton Tyree, DJ Taylor on the Boss Man Show. 9th year. Cheer for those guys out west and then the Big West Conference. We out.
See ya. Peace.